Happy Easter, TGH. What is good? How are you feeling? It is Easter Sunday. I'm lit. You lit. I don't care what kind of situation we're in right now. Jesus is alive. I am so excited to be with you today. If this is your first time ever tuning in to the Gathering Harlem, you are now officially a part of the Gathering Gang. Yeah, gang, gang. You are officially part of the Gathering Gang. So welcome to the family. We are so grateful that you chose to spend this Easter morning with us. Whether you're still in bed with eye boogers, whether you're sitting on the couch in your slippers, or you dressed to impress, because you know it's still Easter. You know, that's why you know your pastor still had to, you know, I started to do a little, so I can't do a whole lot, but I do a little. It's Easter, y'all. Listen, growing up, I ain't gonna hold you, man. Growing up in the hood, man, I didn't even grow up a Christian, and Easter was our opportunity to get flesh, to get fresh and flex. So every Easter, I was fly as a magic carpet. Like, I ain't gonna hold you. So sometimes you just gotta get fresh and sit on your couch. So if that's you, I ain't mad at you. But whatever your situation is, we're glad you're here, because we believe that God has something for you this Easter morning that is going to shift. Somebody say shift your situation. Because Easter tells us that when things are at their worst, you ready? God is at his best. Easter says when you're most fearful, God is most faithful. Easter says when you're on day 999 of quarantine and you are about to lose your mind, God is making a way out of no way. Easter says even though you're an essential worker and are exposed to death and disease daily, that God has removed the sting of death, so death will not have the final word. Oh, somebody in here needs to praise God and give him a resurrection praise. Oh, this ain't just a normal Sunday. This is the Sunday Jesus walked out the tomb. This is the Sunday that life won. This is the Sunday that death lost. This is the Sunday that the devil took an L. You better praise God like he brought you out of something. You better praise God like you're about to walk out of a tomb. So now, here's what I want you to know. This is Easter. So we might all be on lockdown, but Jesus is still alive. See, in times like this, we need to keep it real and cling to hope. Did you hear it? You missed it. Let me say that again. We live in a keep it real generation, and our generation loves to keep it real. And I'm all about keeping it real. But on Easter, we need to keep it real and we need to cling to hope. We need to keep it a buck and we need to not block our blessing. We need to keep it live, but don't forget that Jesus is alive. And somebody watching me right now doesn't understand the power of what I just said. Don't worry, you will by the end of this sermon. Because this Easter, we're going to experience the resurrection power of Jesus, because we need the resurrection power of Jesus more than we've ever needed it before. Because right now, we all feel nailed something. Even if you're not born in Bethlehem and the title after your signature isn't King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are still carrying a cross. You are carrying something right now that you feel nailed to. Maybe you weren't tortured by the Romans, but you're being tortured by the Rona. Amen, somebody. Maybe you weren't carried off by centurions, but you've been carried off by this crisis. Maybe you weren't nailed to a tree, but you've been nailed down by trauma. Whatever you are nailed to right now, what you need to understand about Easter is you don't have to be Jesus in order to carry a cross. Everybody listening to me is carrying a cross. You don't have Jesus's cross, but you do have his nails. You know what it feels like to be nailed to something. You know what it feels like to be struggling with something. You know what it feels like to be stuck in something, to be immobilized, to be rendered helpless. That is what crucifixion is. That is the human experience right now. But the power of Easter isn't in what we're nailed to. The power of Easter is in what we can walk out of. See, they left Jesus in the tomb, but he didn't stay there. Oh, somebody should have got hype. They left him in the grave, but he ain't stay there. Easter shouts at us, if you have his nails, then you can have his resurrection. So today I'm in Mark chapter 16, and we are ending our encounter series. Somebody needs to say, aw. So you ain't even say, oh, you don't even care. You ain't, well, has this series blessed you or has it blessed you? If it's blessed you, just fill out a digital connect card and just let me know it's blessed you. Just let me, because we can't talk. I can't see you on Sunday. So just tell me that it's been blessing you. But today we are ending our encounter series with the greatest encounter that we could ever talk about. Jesus defeating the grave. I'm in Mark 16. I'm in verse 1. It reads, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Do not be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, we need your resurrection power more than ever before. God, all of us are weary and all of us feel heavy. God, we all feel nailed to something that will not let us feel free, that will not let us break loose, that will not let us just enjoy life and live. And God, I just pray right now that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that the same power that rolled back the stone will roll back our stones, that you will move on this Easter Sunday, that this Resurrection Sunday will be a day when you resurrect vision in us, that when you resurrect hope in us, when you resurrect joy in us, and when you resurrect peace in us. We believe in faith that it is all ours because Jesus is alive. And I just pray then that the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. All agree with that said, amen. So family, but think about this all week. You know, life has a way of making things look larger than they really are. If the side view mirrors of our cars say objects in this mirror are closer than they appear, then the life view mirror, our life view mirror says to us, objects in my life are larger than they really appear. See, we're in a moment where everything feels overwhelming, right? Like everything feels dire. Everything feels apocalyptic. Everything feels like the world is about to end. And everything feels like it's all over. It's a wrap. And that's exactly where today's story picks up. See, in today's story, we meet three women with two problems and one major solution, which leads me to my first point. The first problem that these women have is the problem of the stone. Today's events pick up right after Good Friday. Jesus has just been killed. The Messiah has just been murdered. Hope has just been crucified. Perfect love has been put in the grave. And everybody is disoriented because of the shock of Jesus' death. This caught everyone completely off guard. Much like us with the coronavirus, this whole epidemic adversity came upon them with such abruptness that none of them were ready for what they're dealing with. So Jesus dies late Friday evening. He's put in a tomb on Friday. All day Saturday passes where Jesus doesn't get a proper burial because Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath. And his body was then left to decompose in the heat of the desert, which is where Palestine was. And so now is where our text picks up. And it reads, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. The Bible says there were three women who decided to make the long journey to the tomb to embalm the body that was probably decomposing at this point of Jesus. Now, understand this. These women live in a misogynistic culture. That these women lived in a culture where women couldn't even be disciples. They lived in a culture where women could cook the meal but couldn't sit at the table. They lived in a culture where women could give birth to a man but couldn't lead one. They lived in a culture where women could clean the house but couldn't own one. And the first miracle in this text, because this boy is preaching right now, I just feel this in my spirit. The first miracle of this text is that the people that society viewed as the ones with the least to give are the first ones to show up. The people with the least value are the first ones to step up and say, I will honor God. The people that nobody saw as significant were the first ones to say, we are going to honor Jesus. I find it powerful that we're living in a moment right now. I find it interesting, ironic, and incredible that we live in a moment right now where the people that we're most dependent on to get us life-saving resources, to get us food on our grocery shelves, to bring us packages on Amazon and whatever else other outlet that we're ordering from online, are the same people that we fought about paying $15 an hour. Isn't it interesting and ironic how the last becomes first? Isn't it amazing how the least become great? Understand something. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you feel like you have to give, if you feel like you have anything to give right now. But I do know this. You don't need a job to honor Jesus. Oh my God. You don't need status to serve Jesus. And you don't need a lot to love Jesus a lot. It's the courage of these women that's encouraging me most on this Easter Sunday. These women were invisible, but now they're unforgettable simply because they showed up. What's your excuse for not going to the tomb? They had every excuse. They could have said, listen, we're women. First of all, we're going to a tomb with a large stone that we can't move on our own anyway. We don't have any help. The second thing they could have said is, Jesus didn't die. Jesus was killed. And the same people that executed Jesus are probably going to catch us. That's why all the men were hiding, right? All the men are up in Galilee, shooketh. They just shook. They scared, right? And these women could have said, we're women. I mean, the Romans killed Jesus. I mean, if they catch us going to honor Jesus, they might kill us too. And lastly, the women could have easily just been like, yo, it's been 3 days. I mean, it's hot here. The desert air is arid. And his body is probably already decomposing. After a day, actually, in this climate, bodies would have already started to decay. So the body was already stinking anyway. It was already decomposing anyway. Why even waste the time to go? But instead, it's in this place when these women had all the reasons not to go to the tomb that they showed up at the tomb. Now, I know COVID is a crisis, but trust me, there is no crisis like seeing Jesus on a cross. Seeing the Son of God being murdered by the hands of men is not a crisis, it's a catastrophe. But these women, hear me, showed up anyway. Oh my God. They showed up even though there was a stone in their way. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and then they asked each other, hey, yo, girl, hold up. Yo, who gonna roll away the stone from the entrance of this here tomb? Because, girl, don't worry about your makeup right now. Who gonna open up this tomb? Because this joint is OD. See, these women, as courageous as they are, as inspiring as they might be, still find themselves walking to a tomb with a problem that they can't fix. Oh, you missed that. These women, no matter how faithful they are to God right now, and they are incredibly faithful, are still facing a problem that is too big for them to solve on their own. They have a major hindrance handicapping their access to God. There's a stone that's stopping them from getting to Jesus. In the ancient world, Jewish burial tombs were enclosed with giant cuts of rock that were called stones that were rolled in front of it. And this stone was specifically different because a Roman seal was put on the tomb of Jesus. So these women are on a quest to honor Jesus with questions still in their heart. Oh my God. You missed that. I said these women are on a quest to honor Jesus with questions still in their heart. Oh my God, this boy preaching. They're moving to where Jesus is without knowing how they're going to get there. What I appreciate most about these women is even though they had questions, hear me, you ready for this? Even though they had all these questions, they still kept on walking. They didn't know how God was going to do it, but they kept on walking. They didn't know what to do about the stone, but they kept on stepping. What kept them walking wasn't faith. The text is clear. They were as shocked as everyone else to see the tomb empty when they got there. What kept them going wasn't even hope. It wasn't hope. They didn't get up that morning and say, you know what? We're gonna collect all these herbs and spices and oils and all that, and we're just gonna get there. And if Jesus is dead, then we'll embalm him. But if he's not, we'll celebrate. No, they completely and fully expected Jesus to be dead. They went there to embalm his body. No, what kept these women going wasn't faith. It wasn't hope. You ready? It was their love for Jesus. COVID-19 has somebody listening to me that feels stuck. And in your stuckness, you feel like stopping. Somebody has doubts and worry that wants to stop them right now. Somebody's anxiety is out of pocket right now. But listen to me. You don't have to have all the faith in the world right now. You don't even have to have all the answers right now. All you really need right now is to love Jesus. Because love will keep your feet moving. Oh, God told me to tell you, keep it moving. Just say that with me. Keep it moving. I'll say it again. Keep it moving. Say it one more time and you're going to get free. Keep it moving. Keep moving with questions. Keep moving with concerns. Keep moving even though the money is drying up. Keep moving even though you're weak. Keep moving even though each week more bad news comes out. Keep moving even though people you know are getting sick. Keep moving even though people you know are dying. Keep moving even though the hospitals are getting full. Keep moving even though our economy is on the brink. Keep moving even though our country is looking crazy. Keep moving. You have got to keep moving. Because listen to this. Listen, ready? Listen. Linda, listen. Listen. If they would have stopped moving because they had questions, they would have missed their miracle. Oh my God. Their miracle was on the other side of their movement. My God, your miracle is on the other side of your mobility. You have to keep moving, because if they would have stopped halfway there, because they didn't have all the answers, they would have missed the greatest miracle of their lives. See, this Easter, there's all kinds of stones in our way. This Easter, there's the stone of our inability to meet together. There's the stone of us worshiping behind screens. There's the stone of us not being able to brunch, because you know we love our brunch. Let's just be honest. Like, we love our brunch a little bit too much, but I miss brunch too, and I don't even do brunch like that, right? But we've missed our ability to brunch. We have the stone of not being able to hug each other because of social distancing. We have the stone of not knowing where our next meal is going to come from because of massive layoffs. Maybe right now you're too busy. Maybe you're not busy enough. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you can't get a second to yourself. Hello, parents with young kids. Just say amen. Maybe you're losing money. Maybe you're losing health. But all of us have a stone. The stone is real. The stone is the thing that we can't move on our own. The stone is the thing that no matter our ethnicity or capacity, we can't roll back. But the good news of Easter is God doesn't need you to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Because look at the next verse. But when they did what? What did they do, y'all? What did they do? They looked up. They saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. when they looked where? Where did they look? Up. But when they looked up, my God, when they looked up, they were looking down before. They were reading the reports before. They were listening to the news before. They were nurturing the fear before. But then they looked up. Oh, you missed that. But then they looked up. Somebody listening to me needs to look up. David says it this way. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look up. Look up. Your help doesn't come horizontally. Your help comes vertically. Your help does not come from those around you. It comes from the one who is above you. Look up. The problem with us is that though we might have good intentions like these women, we too often look to people to help us move stones that only God can. Or you ain't gonna have me preach. Just say ouch right there. They ask themselves, who will help us move this large stone? But then they looked up. And when they looked up, they saw that God had already done it. Somebody's going to look up. And you're going to wonder, how am I going to pay my bills right now? How am I going to take care of my family right now? How am I going to get through this thing right now? And you're going to look up and see that God already did it. Oh my God. It's time for somebody here to stop looking horizontally and to start looking vertically. God has already put provision in place to remove your biggest barrier to him. And you won't have to lift a finger to do it. All you'll have to do is keep moving and look up. That leads me to my second point. So God dealt with the problem of the stone, but there's another problem in this text. The second problem is the problem of the tomb. The Bible says next, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be scared, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Look and see the place where they laid him. They walk into a tomb. What is a tomb? A tomb is a place of death, the place of decay, the place of destruction. And they expect to see a body there. And they expect to smell death there. But instead, they find someone sitting there, radiating light. And they are alarmed. And so will you be. You would be shook too. See, they were alarmed because resurrection is always a surprise. I'm gonna let that one sit right there. I'm gonna make you listen to that. They were shocked because resurrection is always a surprise. Do you know what my concern is? My concern is we as a church have become so familiar with the Easter story that we've lost the shock of it. It's a deep fear of mine because we've so sanitized the resurrection story that we've lost the surprise of it. And when we lose the surprise of it, we lose the power of it. See, Easter is a shock to everyone's system. Easter was a shock to the Roman system. It was a shock to the cultural systems of Jesus' day. It was a shock to the personal systems of people's lives. Easter shocked everyone. They expected Jesus to be dead. They fully anticipated Jesus to be dead. Everyone thought the movement was over, but somebody in here needs to praise God that he's not the God that moves at the level of our expectations, but he is the God that does exceedingly, or every time I say this, I get faith. He does exceedingly, help me. He does exceedingly what? Abundantly above all. Somebody say all. What is coronavirus? It's all. All you can ask or think. I thank God that he doesn't give us what we expect. And you should be thanking God too. Because many of us wake up each day expecting bad news. We wake up each day expecting to count higher and higher death tolls. We wake up each day expecting more and more people to get sick and more people to lose work. And we just expect the worst. We wake up each day focusing on what we don't have. But the most powerful thing about Easter Sunday isn't what the women had. You ready for it? It's what the women were missing.
Oh my God, you missed that.
Let me help you understand that. Let me run that back. The women were missing multiple things that would have made this story more plausible for them. They were missing the power to remove the stone. Let's talk about that. Meanwhile, Jesus had 12 dudes who were his closest followers, followed him for 3 years. He gave them all kind of power, influence, and status. He gave them all kind of acceptance, love, and hope. And yet these 12 dudes was up in a corner somewhere, hiding shooketh. But despite the fact that they did not have the men to help them move the stone, they kept on walking until they got to the tomb. Then they got to the tomb and they found out that the stone was missing. They looked for the stone and it was rolled back. And then the last thing is, they walked into the tomb and saw that the body was missing and that Jesus was not there. And I heard one pastor say it like this, and this blessed me so much, it almost made me run a lap in my house. I'm about to run a lap in this place right here. The pastor said this. He said, the greatest proof of God's power on Easter Sunday is in what was missing, not in what was there. Oh my God. Sometimes it is in God's absence that we see the greatest proof of his presence. Easter Sunday is the most powerful event that ever happened. And yet on the very first Easter morning, the greatest proof of God's love was that he wasn't there. Did you hear what I just said? The greatest proof of his power is that he wasn't there. The greatest proof of the peace that surpasses all understanding that we as believers can have now, and of the joy that allows us to be joyful in hope and patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. The greatest proof of all of that was that God wasn't there. Not that he showed up, but because he didn't show up. God is using what's not there for you right now to show you that he is. Oh my God. I can feel in my spirit this blessing somebody. Easter is about God doing more, not with what is present, but with what is missing. What's missing in your life right now? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it hope? Is it rest? Is it peace? Don't worry, because you're in a perfect place. Easter is about God's desire to do something incredible with your life because a tomb was empty. If you feel like you have nothing to give, you're in the perfect place because you're a perfect candidate to receive resurrection power that does more with what's not there than what is there. Whatever you're missing right now is exactly where your next miracle is going to come from. God spoke the loudest, you ready? When he wasn't speaking at all. God did the most when he wasn't even there. But here's the turning point of this story. After you go to the tomb and you see that it is not what you're missing that's the problem. It is not what you're missing that's the issue. What are you going to do when you walk out of it? And that leads me then to my third point. The one solution that they found. The third point is the solution is not you, but it includes you. The solution is not you. I know that was probably like humbling for somebody, but most of us should already know that. We are not the answer, boo-boo. Like if we was the answer, trust me, we would have fixed this thing a long time ago. The solution is not you. The Bible is clear at every level of this text that God is the one who solves every problem that Easter presents. But I thank God that even though we cannot remove the stones of our lives and empty the tombs of our lives, the God that can includes us in his story. Listen very carefully to what the angel says in the next verse to these women. He says, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you. The angel tells him to go. But the angel doesn't just say go. He says go because he's going ahead of you. See, I am so glad, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I serve a God that tells me to go, but not just to go, but to go because he already went. Oh my God, I don't know what your Galilee is, but the angel tells them to go to Galilee because Jesus is already on the way there and he will be there waiting for him. I thank God that I don't know what Monday is going to hold, but I thank God that he's already there. I don't know what tomorrow, I don't know what Tuesday is going to bring, but I thank God that when it's Monday, he's already at my Tuesday. I thank God that when it's my Tuesday, he's already at my Wednesday. I thank God that he's already at the end. You ready? Not in the middle, but at the end of this storm. And I thank God for the person that we're going to become out of it. You need to be thanking God that he has already gone before you. I am so glad that we have a God that goes before us all the days of our lives. But that isn't just what the angel says. The angel doesn't just say go because he went before you. You ready for it? He also says go and tell the disciples, but also tell Peter. Now, why would the angel single out Pete? Why did he just say, go tell the apostles, go tell the disciples? Why did he say, go tell the disciples and Peter? Well, because Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. But when the crisis of crucifixion happened, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. When Jesus needed a friend, Peter denied him. Despite all of the things that Jesus did for Peter, when Jesus needed Peter most, Peter caved like a house of cards. But although Peter denied Jesus, Jesus hasn't denied him. Oh my God. And Jesus wants Peter to know, you might have denied me. You might have made some decisions that were disobedient to me. You might have gotten some relationships that you should have never been in. You might have gone some places that I told you not to go. You might have done some things that are shameful. You might have done some stuff that you cannot undo. But you might have denied me. But in my lowest moment, I'm including you in my greatest moment. God has a message for all the Peters like me on this Easter Sunday. And his message is simply this. You're included in my plan to save the world. You are love. You are my child. You are my son and you are my daughter. I have moved heaven and earth, died on a cross and beat the grave just to get you back. His message to us Peters on the other end of the screen is because my tomb is empty, your tomb will be empty as well. Because my stone got rolled back, your stone will get rolled back as well. The angel tells the women, you'll see him again, just like he said. Family, there's many things that are void right now, but the word of God is not one of them. Oh, I love the Bible because the Bible tells me, my Bible tells me, that the word of God does not come back to him void. There's a lot of stuff that's getting voided right now, but the word of God will not be one of them. The hope of Easter is we too will see him again. Just like he said, the hope of Easter is not to have everything go back to normal. The hope of Easter is not that you won't get a cross. The hope of Easter is not that we won't go through pain and people won't die and things, bad things won't happen. That is not the hope of Easter because all of that happened to Jesus. The hope of Easter is that no global crisis can cancel God's love for us, can cancel God's power over us, and can put us in a tomb that he can't break us out of. See, there's a few things that I want to get to you on this Easter Sunday, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and go be with your family. The first thing I want you to get as you think about how to respond to this word is keep on moving. I don't know what your questions are right now. I don't know what your circumstances are. But I do know this. Your miracle is on the other end of your movement. The one thing about God is he doesn't stay in one place for too long. Have you noticed that about God? He doesn't stay in one place for too long. Jesus couldn't even stay in the grave for more than 3 days. He don't stay nowhere for too long. Keep moving. I don't know who or what put you in a tomb, but today is the day for you to walk out of it. Keep moving because your tomb isn't final. It is God's stage to bring resurrection into your life. The second thing I want you to know, and this is for somebody, don't look for life in dead things. Just say amen. The angel said to the women, he is not here. You heard that? He's risen. In another version of this story, the angel says, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus is not in the dead things and dead places that we tend to dwell. Jesus is not in our anxiety. Jesus is not in our fear. Jesus is not in our depression. Jesus will not go there with us. He is not in the dead places that we dwell. So this week, watch less news and pray more. Yeah, I'm coming for you right now. This week, don't watch your favorite show so much. Read some scripture. This week, don't just check social media all day and refresh and refresh and refresh and scroll and scroll and scroll. Check in on somebody different every day. See, life doesn't exist in the things that we distract ourselves with. Those are dead things. And dead things is not where God is. God only lives in the things that are living. So practice faith this week. Practice hope this week. Practice love this week. The last thing I want to give you is do something. Do something. It doesn't matter how you respond. What matters today is that you respond. In verse 8, it says that after the women heard all of this and experienced all of this, and they had these two problems and then this one incredible solution, verse 8 says they didn't go have a revival. Instead, it says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. You can walk out of the tomb that we're in trembling or triumphant, but either way, resurrection demands a response. If you don't know Jesus, this is the day to receive him. This is the day to receive him. We do not know how many tomorrows we have, but we do know the God who holds every tomorrow. And the God that holds every tomorrow, it says that my grace is sufficient for you. And while it is called today, harden not your heart. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what past you have. Just like Peter, the resurrection includes you. So if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want to do this right here. Just pray with me right now. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying the death that I deserve to die. Thank you for rising to the life that I do not deserve to live. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin on yourself and giving me back your salvation. Jesus, I am here today to give you my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. If you will receive me, I in turn will receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer with me, welcome to the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the angels in heaven throw a party for every sinner that comes to repentance. So just know today that though your house may be a little quiet and the people with you ain't really hype as you is right now, the angels in heaven are throwing a party for you. And God just said, welcome home, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Welcome home, my beloved daughter. I sent my son to die for you, and now he came to receive you back. And lastly, for everybody else that just want to pray too, let's pray for God to move in a new way this Easter. This is not like any Easter we've ever experienced, but I believe that it is in the insurmountable problems that we face right now that we see the greatest sign and proof of God's power. I believe it's in what we're missing as a world right now that we're going to see the greatest proof of his love. Bow with me in prayer if you believe that too. Father God, I thank you this Easter, not for what we have. I thank you this Easter for what we don't have. God, we complain about what we don't have, but this Easter, I pray that you shifted our perspective to thank you for what we don't have. God, I thank you that we don't have the answers right now. I thank you that we don't have the resources right now. I thank you that we don't know how you're going to do it right now. God, I thank you for what's missing, because in what's missing, you teach us how close you really are. That Jesus, you are speaking the loudest to us by not speaking at all. I pray, God, that this Easter we see that resurrection has the ability to take what is not there, life, and to raise it and give it and make it so that it is what is here. And God, though the women didn't expect you to be alive, when it got to the tomb, they saw that what was missing was actually setting them up for what they were about to gain. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we just ask that you continue to cover us during this crisis. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Happy Easter, y'all. Love y'all.